Thank you, my sister. That was beautiful indeed. And you would recognize that our text is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, where the word of God says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I've got a lot of images in my mind as I go through this life. I've picked up these images all across the world in all kinds of situations in which I've lived. And one of the most vicious images I have in my mind is the image of a bat that we have in Guyana. That bat is the one that goes in front of cows, big animals in the field, and they fan the cows with their mighty wings. And when they fan the cows begin to be drowsy. Very often the cows have eaten and are sitting on the ground chewing their cud. And these vampire bats go in front of them and fan them to sleep. Once they're asleep, the bats inject a secretion into their bloodstream. And when the blood begins to ooze out of their body, the bats suck the blood from the cows and leave them dead or near dead, because this secretion prevents the blood from clotting. And as the blood comes out of their bodies, the bats suck them dry until they die. I tell you, the world out there among the animals of the field, that world is a vicious place. But I've never found a more accurate image of what the devil does than what those bats do. The vampire bat. If you could handle that image in your own mind, it's going to help you to understand what I want to speak about today. I want to speak about what the Apostle Paul talks about: awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. As to what this image is that the Apostle Paul wants us to get, I know that there's a disagreement among two of my great leaders from whom I learned the scripture. On the one hand, Charles, the brother of John Wesley, has this as his pivotal message when he says, "Awake, thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light." He says this is the first message every person needs to hear, that when we are living in sin, and God sends the wake-up message to us, God wants to give you light and life and welcome you into the kingdom. That's the position of Charles Wesley. Spurgeon, that you hear me talk about a lot. Spurgeon sees this as the sleeping Christian, the person who is walking with God, And something has happened to him in his life, and he goes off to a slumber. One of the normal things that happens in life. Every day we slumber and sleep. We need sleep. And we can restore a lot of our strength if we get a good night's sleep. And sleep is part of the natural process of things by which men live and move and recuperate their strength. It's for you to take those two positions and try to interpret which of these two the Word of God is talking about. I come to tell you, my friends, that there's a character of this drowsiness and sleep that we should know about. What is this terrible thing that we are reading about sleep here? You know, that terrible thing is not what happens when you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep at night, it's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. But we're talking about this sleepiness. I want to ask you, have you ever seen people who, when they're sleeping, they exhibit some of the characteristics of people who are awake? Have you ever noticed that people who are awake and people who are sleeping, and the ones who are sleeping showing the characteristics of people who are awake? What are these characteristics? You ever see people talk in their sleep? No, that's not supposed to happen because, I mean, you're sleeping. What you doing talking? You ever see people walking in sleep? Get up and walk. I had a person working with us, lived in Bartica. She said when she was a young child, she was never christened. And before she was christened, she used to get up at nights and walk right out of the house. And Bartica has the big Essequibo River right out there. And one night they found her walking straight into the river. And they snatched her and they carried her home. And the parents were worried about her. What are we going to do with this child? And somebody said, what you must do with this child is christen this child. And if you christen this child can stop walking in her sleep. And so the parents took her to church. And the father poured the water on her and christened her. And after that, she's telling me the story. She says she never walked in her sleep again. Now, friends, you run with that, you hear? Tell me what you think about it. I got a lot of stories that people tell me over the years about people who are asleep, who walk in and talk in, but they're fast asleep. However you turn it, it's not a good picture. When you're sleeping, you're not supposed to talk. You're not supposed to walk. It's inconsistent with sleeping. But this condition that we read about in the Bible is obviously a most negative condition. It's a sad picture of people who are supposed to be walking with God, but are oblivious of everything that's happening in the kingdom, everything that's happening in the world. They're in a world all by themselves. They're asleep. I want to ask you this morning, are you spiritually asleep? Let me tell you what sleeping Christians do. They come to church. They listen to the message. But you see, while they're listening to the message, they got their own thoughts. They got their own story that they're working through. I heard about a couple sitting in the back of the church in Trinidad while the pastor is preaching, and they obviously were having their own story at the back of the church talking. And somehow in this service, everything went dead with the microphone. And one of these two sisters could be heard talking to the next one and said, "I like mine fried." What? Whatever they're talking about, they don't know, but it comes out loud for everybody to hear. "I like mine fried." Sleeping, oblivious to everything that's wrong. That's what happens when you're sleeping, isn't that right? Oh yeah. I know certain people don't really sleep like that. When they're sleeping, their eyes partly open. And anybody who walks around in that room, wake them up. They wake up, they sleep just a little bit under. They don't really go into it. Some of us, when we sleep in, give us a chance. We gone far. We far, far place. And when anything goes on in the room, we just don't know. You could carry us away. We fast asleep. The woman had gotten away from her husband. And part of the plans that they had to get her back home was to take mosquito coil. And what they did was they put it in some one of those things that put people to sleep, and they set it under the house and they lit it, chloroform. And as she began to sleep and take in this chloroform, it went into her system and she went fast asleep. And what the husband did was to send two of his friends to go in the house after they had set this thing for half hour and put her fast asleep. And when they got in the house, they lifted her up from off the bed, took her in a car, and carried her right back home to the husband. When she woke up next morning, she's not where she went to sleep the night before. And she said the husband worked obia on her. So I said, "This is real obia. I'm not supposed to be here." She had moved out from her husband's house. And her husband went and got her. She was scared of her husband, that her husband was able to bring her back home. Well, when you're sleeping, you don't know anything that is going on. It's a terrible, terrible condition. And we want to examine this morning this insidious characteristic of this drowsiness and sleep. And I'm saying that what God wants is a set of people who are awake. Amen. Wide awake. Active. All of their faculties are functioning. God is looking for some people who would wake up, get beyond all this drowsiness, and live. The evil of this deception lies in the unconsciousness and carelessness of the condition. A man who is asleep is impervious to all warnings, all arguments and reasons. If the house is on fire, you gotta wake him up before you could tell him fire. You could shout all the fire you want. If he's sleeping, he's not gonna hear you. You could send all the ambulances in front of his house. Unless you could break into that house and wake him up, you can't do a thing to help him. And I'm saying that this is what this passage is talking about. It's talking about an evil something. It's talking about something that is deceptive. A consciousness of danger can only be real if a person is what? Awakened. You know how many people all across the world in days of disaster never know that there was a disaster? They slept through the whole tsunami. And when they wake up in hell. There's some things we can't sleep through. And many people who are going through the darkest days in their lives are fast asleep and don't know the danger they're in. Here is this great flood about to come over the seawall and wipe out all the houses in the area. Everybody's going to die. But this person is in a house fast asleep. They don't have a clue. When the great bombs were dropped in Japan, many of the people who died as a result of those great bombs were fast asleep and never woke up. But the bomb dropped and they were wiped out. I'm saying, my friends, you could be a child of God who knows the Lord, but has gotten into a stupid sleep, and somebody needs to wake you up. And I hope that this spring, the beginning of this spring, this would be a wake-up call to every child of God to tell you that you are important in the kingdom. Don't let the devil fool you and tell you you don't have talents, you don't have gifts. Child of God, every one of us is important in this kingdom, and we want to get this right. The work of the kingdom is not for a few people. The work in the kingdom is for 100% of the people of God. I could not care how you see yourself. God doesn't see you like that. God knows what he has invested in you and how he can use you for his glory. And every one of us before God is useful. And you can do a job which you alone can do. Nobody else is in your unique position. For you to be asleep is to miss out totally on the plan that God has for you. For you to be asleep is to miss out on the ministry that God has for you when he says that you are the servants of God. Now are ye the servants of God. And it doesn't appear what we shall be. We know one of these days it's going to be all made clear to all of us. But no, we are the servants of God. And that's why sleepiness is such a serious thing. Because if you're a servant, you're supposed to be awake, right? If you're on the job, you can't do this job and sleep at the same time. No, my friend. Your enemy is never asleep. The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he catch you sleeping, he got you. You can't be asleep because the devil is never asleep. Consciousness of danger can only be real if the person is awakened. And I hope I could ring a bell I hope I could sound an alarm this morning and tell you, my friend, wake up. God's got stuff for you to do that's most important. Now, what are the issues? If a man is a servant, he can't be asleep. If he is, he's not on duty. The serious truth is that the enemy, Satan, is wide awake. We had an old-time preacher in England, Hugh Latimer, and he said that the devil is the busiest bishop in the kingdom. Meanwhile, souls are being lost. I think he got it right, don't you think so? Man, the devil doesn't sleep. And he got you. He just want to pass and see one of the children of God sleeping. He got you, man. He been looking for you a long, long time. You're in danger. Amen, you're in danger. You can't flee. You can't fight. You can't serve. All you are is a sitting duck, a target to be devoured, because we are not living in a peace place. A war is on. And the children of God need to be wide awake for this war. I want to tell you some things that could tell you when you're sleeping or not. Ask yourself how many minutes a day you spend talking to God in prayer. How much time do you pray? How much time do you meditate on the things of God? How much time per day do you spend studying the Word? When we were doing the Bible reading, how much time did you give to it? How much of the Bible did you read through? Now, we showed where we could do it twice in a year. Did you do it once? I'm saying that there are a lot of good people who are fast asleep. And because they're fast asleep, they are no danger to the enemy. They're not active in the ministry of the church. It's manifested by the way they do their business. When it comes to tithing, they gave that up years ago. And what their life is a constant struggle with unbelief and with doubt and fears. And as they walk through this world, they are not that vibrant personality that God intended them to be, because they are sleeping. God wants his church to be awake. When we're sleeping, we're going through all the motions of somebody who is awake, but you're just walking in your sleep. You're talking, but you don't know what you're saying. You're asleep. Watch out for the way in which immorality could slip into your life. Something that you would have run away from when you were once awake, but when the enemy has come and lulled you into sleep, you never could imagine that you could find yourself in a position like this. That was never the plan that you had for your life. God wants a people who are awake to all challenges and distresses that the devil would want to bring into their lives. What causes spiritual drowsiness? First of all, there's the evil of our own nature can cause drowsiness. The devil knows, and that's what he's going to work on for every one of us. We were born with a nature away from God that would take us further away from God. And the evil of our nature with which we were born, is going to nudge us into a sleep. Farther and farther away from the God that you love, until you are asleep and you can't bless the God that you love. If anybody is to talk to you about your theology and what you believe, you would be the first to tell them, look, I don't believe in all that nonsense. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Your theology is orthodox. And you could talk about the God in whom you believe. You believe the Bible. Somebody got to beat you unconscious for you to be in a place where you don't believe the Bible. From your youth, this is yours, and you meant you're going to live for this. Glory be to God for every child of God who believes this word. This is the lamp to our feet, and this is the light to our path. We believe this. But what is it that makes us fall asleep? That nature with which we were born can wean us away from the things that we want. And if we want to go that way, it comes with energy. It comes with determination. And God can help us to have that energy and determination to stick with the things of God. To drift away from that is to end up in spiritual drowsiness, and our nature likes it. The lulling of false doctrine can put anybody to sleep. If you hear some of the junk that's being taught today, you could fall to believe some of that stuff. You're going to sleep. It's going to put you to sleep. You ever hear the nonsense that they're pushing all over the television and on the radio now these days? If you're not hearing it, it's all right. Praise God for you. But that could put you to sleep. If you could believe that you could sin all you want, do what you want, hate all you want, and still end up in heaven, that can put you to sleep. The devil wants you to believe that kind of junk. No, my friends. God wants you to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God wants people who are awake, who are active for God, who are getting on with the things that really matter. Lulling of false doctrine can put you to sleep. Idleness could put you to sleep. You ever see when the place gets really cold and you not doing anything, and bit by bit your body, the adrenaline drops, bit by bit you start nodding. You're worried only the cold. I had a boy named Patrick Emmanuel Bruce Van Brahma Asano. That was his name. He had a powerful name, a nice boy. He came into my class. You know how many times I would set a test and the only thing I get back is his name written on the top line? Patrick Emmanuel Bruce Van Brahma Asano. See, there's a heavy, you can't push him over, you know. You see, if I got a lecture in the afternoon, I'm dead scared because I know this boy can sleep on me. I'm putting everything I got into this class. And in our institute, we had 3-hour sessions. You know, you'd lecture 45 minutes, and you'd have practical. You're looking through their instruments, they're learning how to read, and so I'll be mixing it up. But you see, that lecture, my boy nodded at me a long time. I says the cocoa rice that he eats for lunch. When he come back the afternoon, that cocoa fighting him. It's the peas. It's the coconut. Sweet, sweet food, you know. It's got my boy. My boy is fast asleep. I hated afternoon classes. I like to teach 8:15 in the morning. Give me the classes every day, 8:15, when I could get them first thing in the day. They don't sleep so much on you in the morning, but in the afternoon, look out for Patrick. Patrick gone asleep a long time. How does he work like that? And it's amazing how many people live just like that all their lives. They don't have energy for anything. Pride. Amen. Not only idleness, but pride can intoxicate anyone. Yeah? Put us to sleep. For the majority of sleeping Christians, a lack of intensity. Amen. Can put them to sleep, and has put them to sleep long time. They were never intense about anything. You know, there's some people like that. They were nothing ever turned them on. Nothing. They were never intense about academic studies. When it was time for them to study, they became Patrick Emmanuel Bruce Van Brahma Asano. And not only the afternoon when they eat the cook-up. All of their lives, they've been nodding. And they go through the formative years of their lives and missed out on academic development. And they spend their whole lives feeling that somehow they could achieve everything that the other man who'd been intense and working hard could get. You know why? They're dreaming. They're asleep. They're asleep for the rest of their lives. And they've watched their colleagues achieve. And they become jealous of what their colleagues achieve. But they've already missed the bus. That train has gone. They can't catch that train ever again. Because early in life, when they should have been on that train, they chose to sleep. My call to you today is to wake up. God has a plan for you. And you need to get on that life with intensity and live your life with something driving you. God wants you to wake up. Because if you're asleep, you're going to miss it. I say to the church here, every year, you see when we come around to this time, and the light comes out, and the heat comes out, and this change comes out, there's some things that are happening all around. People are getting new interests. People have gone through the winter, come to this time of the year, and a lot of things begin to happen. A lot of people fall in love during the spring. Did you know that? The young man's heart turns to warmer things. Springtime. You watch the garden outside. You see this thing that looks so dead? You see these little buds coming up. Oh, man, the irises push their heads up because the spring is life, is love, is beauty all around. When you begin to see those leaves, the leaves have a color that they would never get again. The color of spring. You could see through the leaves. And I say, yes. And if you are a person who's going to have an agenda in your life, make sure you use the spring as an important thing. That's why we do what we do as a church. If the church could get to hear this message that I'm preaching this morning, in 2 weeks' time, every one of you would have a friend, a relative, an associate, or a neighbor with you. So that if there are 100 of us this morning in here, there are going to be 200 in 2 weeks' time. If there's 150 of us in here, there are going to be 300 in 2 weeks' time in this service. Because each one of you has somebody that you could influence for Christ. We have the statistics that tell us that if the church would invite the unsaved, 87% of the people would say yes. But it can't be somebody who they don't know. It's got to be something that somebody that they know. You got a brother who's unsaved. You got a friend who's unsaved. You got a neighbor who's unsaved. That's why we put Friend Day for Palm Sunday. It's always in the spring. You're going to see a different kind of a day when you come on Palm Sunday. Outside is beautiful. All the snow with chances be melted. And you're going to see we make it so because we are in the business of winning souls. That's our first concern. And I'm saying, child of God, come. Let's join our forces together and be a blessing for God this beautiful spring day. When we would reach out to our friends, that's our world, you see. You're not responsible for the other person's world. You're responsible for your world, your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors. And you have been uniquely placed in that world to be a blessing to men. Hear me, friends. We could spend a lot of time bellyaching and lamenting on this awful state of drowsiness and sleepiness. I don't want to do that. I want to say, wake up. I want to say what Paul said. See? Wake up. Awake, thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. I don't want to argue the two positions as to whether this is somebody who is backslidden and lost and going to hell, or whether this is just a Christian who is dozing off. I'm really not interested in that this morning. All I'm interested in doing is to do what we used to always do every day. We got some people in the family that we got to wake up every morning. When you go into their room, you see, when you got somebody like my grandson this time of the year, don't look surprised. You do it too. And all the young guys who are their age, you see, when you're in the morning, they could sleep till 2 o'clock every day. No problem. No problem at all. You see, when you get to the age of 75, you can't make that. You see, 4 o'clock, you've gone to your computer. And you say, I'm an energetic guy. You're not energetic. You're 75. You can't sleep 8 hours anymore. You have to sleep 5 hours anytime you could take it, day or night. It's all the same to you when you see you get 7 to 75. But when you're like my grandson, the 11 and 12, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he'd be sleeping since 11 o'clock the night before. But 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all thoughtful mothers know, leave the boy, let him sleep. Leave the boy. This is what happens. I just want to tell everybody, let's wake up. This is spring. Spring has sprung. And God wants to use all of us for the glory of his name. Amen. God is not writing off anybody. God is saying, child, come work with me. I want you to get on your knees and pray for that brother or sister who's lost. You see, that miserable person who is drinking themselves drunk and killing themselves, you pray for them. You see that good friend of yours that you don't have any hope for? It doesn't depend on your hope, it depends on my hope. I got good plans for them. I got plans, and I know my plans that I have for them. Their thoughts of good and not of evil. I got plans to carry them to a perfect end, and you lock into my plans and see what I could do through you for that friend, relative, associate, or neighbor. All I want you to do is to try God and see what happens. Just try God. Find any person that you know who is giving you the biggest hassle in your life. Hand them over to God and pray for them and watch and see what God will do with that same friend. You can't write off anybody. This is God's business. Child of God, you're enrolled as a servant of Christ. God is going to make you a blessing indeed. Do you believe it? Amen. I wanted us to sing Christian Rousey, War is Raging. But I've got another one. It's number what? 647. I want us, church, to sing it. And I want this to be a wake-up call for all of us. Because, amen, what a rousing soldiers, what? Rally round the banner. Child of God, sung the battle cry. Let's stand and sing it.
Sung the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high, for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your call upon the holy word. Rouse and soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching as we go, but our cause we know must prevail. Seal and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fear. Roused and soldiers rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout the Lord Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear a crown before thy face. Rouse then, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.